lead strategist here at EWR Digital.
Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. This is podcast number 525. I think we spoke about last time that why do we always celebrate things in even numbers like fives or tens or whatever. I know that's not
because it feels good, Chris.
Because it right, good. It feels good. Like because you know why? Because we have this many fingers on our hands. We have five fingers. That's why.
Ooh. Like
you get to move all to right. the next we one. Lost service. I could hear you, but I cannot hear you now.
No, you're back.
There all we right. back.
So yeah, a full disclosure. I don't know why all of a sudden Chris said, let's do the podcast. And my internet said, I'm not sure. Maybe. maybe
your we'll internet do it. Said, this is past the scheduled time. I'm no longer available.
Yeah. I mean, it's been working really hard for me lately. I've been really busy. So.
Yeah. So great. This is episode 525. We're excited to bring it to you. And actually, we want to, you know, I think I may have misrepresented what has actually happened in terms of getting a sponsor. We never looked for a sponsor for 523 episodes. And then we had people contacting us and we're like, yeah, let's figure this out. And then boom, now we have Ahrefs as a sponsor. I think it's a pretty cool deal. And so let me kind of get the commercial going for you, and you have frozen, but you're back. I'm gonna keep. Are you like pretending to freeze, and then I can't tell if you're. All right. So last time we spoke about Ahrefs, right, and AWT, which is Ahrefs Webmaster Tools. What can AWT make for your website? Scan your website for 100+ common SEO issues that might be hurting its performance in search engines. Kind of value. Browse your website's backlink data and get actionable insights from your inbound and outbound link profiles. Obviously valuable. Learn what keywords your website ranks for and compare how you stack up against your competitors in the SERPs. Again, that's search engine result pages. Really like everything that you need an SEO piece of software to do, right? And in fact, they've got a quote from Search Engine Journal, who we kind of review those articles on a regular basis. They said, Search Engine Journal said, it's hard to believe that something as useful as this is free. Ahrefs Webmaster Tools is a killer service. And if you want to get your free access, you should just go to Ahrefs, and that's obviously the letter A, the letter H, and then refs, refs.com, and then /AWT for Ahrefs Webmaster Tools. Glad that they are a sponsor. Excited to be doing the podcast with a sponsor. You know, we finally just got around to it. That's
so
cool.
Chris, you know that I've been writing a number of articles for Search Engine Journal. So we're going to now have to do one of my articles next. You know, I wrote one recently on speed on some issues that were going on. I thought it would be good to expound upon that. And then one of the really the next article that I have coming out that I'm really excited about is, you know, I'm writing about things that clients like ask, right? And so the client asks, like, how many times can you optimize one page, right? On page optimization. And like, you know, talking about like different elements mixing together, how Google looks at that. So I go into that, but Ahrefs, okay. So I want to talk about this. Certainly, this is a tool that we use. This is a tool that I use on a daily basis. Not exactly sure on the free versus the paid version, but certainly worth its money for the paid version, worth its weight in gold, like that term. What I can tell you is...
Or is that now worth its weight in Bitcoin?
Yeah, that I actually, as I was saying that, that came to my head. So I appreciate it. Yeah, and what I can tell you is I used to use this tool a lot for off-link back analysis, like link building, competitor link building, looking at the backlink profile, looking at the anchor text, looking at the type of links that you might get. And it was really a great tool in that regard. I have recently started to use it a lot more for like keyword rankings. Just quickly see how they're ranking versus last month. I believe they update the data quite regularly. I like able to go there really quickly and getting a quick snapshot. You know, sometimes you have to do manual searches for certain keywords, and Ahrefs does a really good job updating their data. And I have also recently started to use their auditing tool, which I'm really liking. So there's a full portfolio of suites that Ahrefs is offering. And, you know, I can highly recommend them. I use them. I like them. I'm excited that they're a sponsor. Ahrefs, check it out. So.
Very cool. Yeah. Go to ahrefs.com/AWT to get signed up for that free version and the free access. All right. Let's jump into the article. Did you find any reviews? Do we have any reviews for today?
Honestly, I haven't checked. I've been dealing, like I've had actually a lot of referrals and I've been doing consulting sessions most of today and yesterday for people that are, you know, people typically come to us for the most difficult problems, right? Like, so like they've worked with their local agency. They maybe tried out their brother's cousin, right? Maybe they've tried to use somebody overseas and they're just like, hey, I need someone to help me with this problem, and time is money kind of thing. And so I've been booked up with consulting sessions, and we've been getting a lot of referrals. It's just kind of that time of the year. And that's what I've been doing. So I have no idea.
I always know, like, we share with prospects, hey, the thing that's going to be most expensive to you isn't actually our fee. And especially isn't our fee versus, you know, somebody's cousin or versus somebody overseas.
You're saying our retainer fee, like, right, or whatever we're offering. Yeah.
The real expense is in the missed opportunity, right? If you were in position one quickly, right, in say 2 months, like that, the loss of time versus another company that doesn't get the job done as quickly is way more expensive than anything that you would ever pay. Right? It's more expensive to your business not to have those sales.
No, the lost opportunity cost is real. I have clients telling me that they're generating hundreds of thousands of dollars a day in lead volume, right? Not all of them close. And also we've had a number of clients hit some really big clients that like $500,000, $1 million, like change their whole book of business because they're ranked well and they're positioned well for that right opportunity. And you don't know that you missed it. I didn't know where you were going with that, Chris. I actually kind of, what I was thinking is like really the strategy, right?
Right.
Having the right strategy in my mind is the absolute most important thing, because if you approach anything with the wrong strategy, you're going to end up at the wrong place. And so to know that this is what we need to do, this is where we need to go, and feel confident in that, however you get there, I find to be like the most valuable, right? Yep. And someone that's been there before and that can give you advice. I mean, like learn on somebody else's like dime, right? Like we've done it. We've worked with tons of clients. We've done hundreds, if not thousands of campaigns. Like I have a lot of data with all these Google algorithm updates. I can see across, you know, 80 clients what's happening. Not only that, like talking to other colleagues in the space, you know, a lot's happening. You might not be able to see that on your specific website, right? So I think it's a really good idea to leverage experts. Certainly it's something that we continue to do, and we promote at the company, is continue to grow, continue to learn, continue to read. I think that's really why you started doing this podcast, right? Is to keep up with the trend of everything that's constantly changing in digital marketing.
Yeah. This is not an industry where you can sit back and go, oh, right, as of today, I know it all, and that's going to last even 3 months. Like that's not even going
to
last.
Yeah, logging in, oh my gosh, logging into some of these platforms, they continue to try to optimize it for user friendliness. But if you know where things are and they keep moving stuff around in some of these platforms, it's constantly changing. And I can't wait for it to start changing into Web3 marketing. And we will be right on the forefront of that.
On the forefront. All right. So let's talk about the article. And this is part two. So in podcast number 524, we covered the first five of 10 timeless keyword research tips. This is again from Brad Smith. Patif to you, Brad Smith. He's the CEO at Wordable. Just real quick, the first keyword tip was funnel stage. So, you know, if that piques your interest, you need to go back and listen to 524. Number two was PPC performance. PPC is always a great place to do keyword research. Number three is existing page topics. Number four was seasonality. Number five is trending topics. And now let's do 6 through 10.
All right.
Let's get it done. All right. Number six is on-site search. So sometimes the answers are literally staring you in the face, right? You know those times when you hear something so effective and obvious, yet you realize you aren't doing it yet. Right. So a lot of websites, and what we're talking about here, and he actually admits that the first time somebody mentioned this to them, he was like, duh. He pulled a Homer Simpson. Dope. Should have had it from the beginning. If you have a search on your site, and it's probably a good idea if you've got any volume of content on your site, you can go look at what people are searching for. And you can enable site search inside Google Analytics and then go into behavior and you'll be able to see the variety of searches that people are searching. Does it make sense to use keywords that your customers are already searching for on your site?
Yes.
And with that, should I go to number seven?
Well, I think that this is certainly important when you're collecting data. I mean, as we talk about, Google continues to change things. They moved a lot of the search metrics that you could find into the AdWords portion. So you have to pay for it. And they put everything in GA under undefined, which is really not very helpful. So being able to track how people are interacting with your site, how they're searching, falls into maybe the category of CRO, and you can start heat mapping and tracking sessions. And it's certainly a great tool in the tool belt to understand what kind of content's popular on your site, what you maybe should write more of, what people are searching for, how they're searching for it, what words they're using, that sort of thing. So yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Number seven is branded key phrases. So we're familiar with branded names like the product name or company's names, but branded terms can extend to industry terms you invent. There's no better example than inbound marketing. I remember a time when inbound marketing was not a thing, and now it's a thing associated with
HubSpot. Yeah. What about modern marketing, Chris? Remember that was digital marketing. It used to be called modern marketing, right?
Modern marketing. And so the concept here is if you've got a platform to share things out there, share things that you have ownership of, right? So when somebody goes and searches inbound marketing, I don't know how it is today, but certainly in the beginning, the only thing that came up was HubSpot, like, because they were the only ones talking about inbound marketing, and they were talking about it everywhere, you know, in all the publications and any ads on YouTube, just everywhere. And so they created a phrase that really is associated with them.
I mean, they made a conference.
Yes. Right?
I think, Chris, you know, you pick articles that always lead back to you talking about C60. Why don't you talk about like drinking your own Kool-Aid and believing in this concept of what you do for your nutraceutical business?
Yeah. So the all of our products currently, we're working on some different products, but all of our products currently are based on carbon 60. And what we came to understand, there's really two things that we did, but from purely the marketing side, there's scientific reasons behind this as well, and really safety for the consumer reasons. But what we came to understand is if we're out there talking about this thing that nobody's ever heard of, what that does is it throws people into a bucket of other vendors who have this product. And frankly, we checked the quality of those products and those products weren't very good. And so we're like, well, how do we go out and share this molecule, right? This carbon 60 molecule with people, but make sure they don't get thrown into this, I don't know, questionable industry. And so what we came up with is ESS 60. So you can go look up ESS 60 and it's a branded phrase and it's our own branded phrase. And what that does is if I go on a podcast or if I write an article, What we're talking about is ESS 60 in that podcast and in that article. So when consumers who are now recently exposed to this go and search the internet, they're going to find a reputable source of a high quality product. And we don't have to worry about them going down a bad path, bad mouthing it because they have a bad experience with with a company that may not even be maybe selling their product as having C60 in it and not even having C60 in it. And that has occurred. So that's kind of the reasons behind it. And it's proven valuable.
So, I mean, I think to summarize, if you're going to spend a lot of time and energy generating demand for a specific product or service, you should want to reap the benefits of all that demand generation and work that you've done. And if you do that on your own phrase, you're more than likely going to get the lion's share of the search results for that phrase.
Yeah, the lion's share of the search result for what you create, what you plant. Yeah. You often use that kind of plant and cultivate and harvest analogy. And you're chopping a little bit, so I'm going to pretend that we're still going. I'm seeing a timer. So this was interesting. It was a piece that he added in that I didn't know how well it fit. This is Brad added in related to branded key phrases, but I thought it was interesting. So you can go find some of the data directly inside of Google Analytics. If you go to audience inside of Google Analytics and then scroll down to interest, underneath you'll find the affinity categories option. This is just like, this is nitty gritty good stuff. You can analyze their onsite. So now you can see how people, what their affinity categories are. And you can also look at their behavior. Ultimately, did they download that white paper? Did they make a purchase? Did they schedule that free analysis? And then you can use that to understand and decide, okay, people with this affinity actually tend to close. Let's spend time addressing people with that affinity. I think it's really, really a smart decision.
I mean, segmentation, like, and I'll try to be brief so we don't lose internet service here, but creating affinity audiences, target personas, testing different ads to those affinity audiences, creating lookalike audiences, figuring out what messaging and what people respond best to, that kind of fish where the fish are scenario is certainly valuable. And that's something in traditional marketing you can't always take advantage of, right? Maybe you can say, hey, in this magazine, typically these people read it, but you can't easily and quickly and efficiently test to see how people respond to that messaging and iterate on that to get to the purpose-driven messaging. Certainly like ads or using Twitter to put stuff out there to find out what works before you invest in an SEO campaign, if you don't have enough data, is a great way to go.
Absolutely. All right. Number 8, location and widgets. Again, this is 10 timeless keyword research tips. Location plus widgets doesn't sound obvious. What it's really talking about, and this is what his point is, the widget is like pizza or internet marketing services or the generic version of whatever it is you might be interested in purchasing or learning more about. It's those end up being short tail phrases that are a lot harder to pursue. And his point is, hey, go after the location. I think there certainly was a time when you actually had to do this on purpose, like it was the only way. I remember a day, and some of you, we've had this podcast on air long enough, are going to go like, that's not true. Chris is lying. That was never the case. There was a time when you could just go to the internet and you could type, I don't know, cosmetic dentist, and you would get the most popular cosmetic dentist at all. And actually, it was the best content at that time. It wasn't even a popularity contest yet. Google wasn't around. And you would actually, they might be in LA if you're in Houston. Now, we know that doesn't happen anymore. Google's done an amazing job of understanding where you are. And so if you're looking for a cosmetic dentist, it does understand that you don't want one in California, probably. In fact, if you do want one in California, you got to type in dentist in California, cosmetic dentist in California. So Matt, I know you were giving me an example as we were prepping for the show about how local plus widget is important to take into consideration. specifically at the keyword search phase.
Yeah. So I lost you for a bit of that. So there might be some cutouts, when we post this. So sorry, guys. But yeah, I mean, when you're doing keyword research, it's really important to maybe use that target keyword or that target phrase plus the location. Also, I think really going after long tail key phrases, I know he doesn't talk about this, but going after long tail key phrases first, maybe easier. Most of the searches that Google sees are also new searches. People are using search engines differently. They're using longer phrases, but typically the keyword plus the location is a good way to go. And it's a good way to measure data. That's something you can use Ahrefs for, is you can go there and you can search for this keyword plus this location, and then kind of compare those out versus other areas. And what you really want to make sure of is, you know, really, you got to get to the first page to see anything with SEO. Not only that, you need to see like really middle to top of first page to really see anything. And you're getting a ratio of how many searches, how many searches there are for that term. And kind of the max amount of searches typically you would get is about 33% of all those searches. So if there's 100 searches, you get 33 of them. Well, you know, if there's only 10 people searching, you're only getting 3 people to your website. How many people do you need to get to your website to convert? So there's some mathematical formulas that you really need to take into consideration when you're going after keywords. So you can certainly rank for a great keyword, but if there's not a lot of volume, you really need to look at the value of that lead to make sure it makes sense before you invest time in that area, right? So there's different, again, going back to the strategy, decide maybe you want to just pay to target that, but is not a great way. There's a couple tools out there, but there's not a great way to go in this geographic area with this location, right? How many people search for it if they're not using that location term? And one of the easier ways to see it without really looking at some like enterprise level data is to just add that location to it. And it gives you a good idea. And I'm sure that there's like a formula of like, here's how many people are in the United States. Here's how many people are searching for that term. Here's how many people are in your geographic area. So you're getting a percentage of that national search of people that are looking for that term. And adding that location to it. So there's certainly different ways to cut it. But adding that location to the product or service in that area gives you an idea of how much demand is there. And if you're finding something with very low demand in that area, you might want to go the demand generation route and go, you know, maybe Facebook ads or LinkedIn ads, or, you know, depending on what you're offering. But you need Google is a demand harvesting tool.
Machine.
Now, you know, okay, so you got display ads, which could be different. You got YouTube, which could be different. But typically, you're looking at existing search volume and how do you capture that? You know, utilize those people searching for that. And sometimes, you know, you might need to search around for the right keyword phrase. You know, analogy I've used in the past is we had someone come to us for an AdWords audit, and we realized that all they needed to do was rank for one keyword on the SEO side, and it would solve the problem. And, you know, that was determined after like a 2.5-hour strategy session, and the internal SEO was pushing back on it. And then the owner, I think I told this story, right? The owner was like, well, what is it going to cost to get there? And then basically I took our rate and multiplied by 3. And then, you know, and I said, you know, there's no time frame on it. But he goes, how long can you do it? I said, I can do it in 45 days or less. Now, with that being said, they were already on the first page. So all I had to do was go up to the top and ring the bell. And that was done quite easily because, I mean, like we've talked about, I have access to a lot of different data. We've run a lot of campaigns. I have a pretty good sense of how Google responds once I see how it starts interacting with your website, and I can measure some things. So after 2.5 hours of analyzing the site, I pretty much knew what they needed to do. And, you know, I can understand the business owner standpoint of, hey, I want to guarantee that this happens. And based on the data you're showing me, this should be a big deal. And with that being said, it was for a plumbing company. And since then, they bought in a air conditioning company because they've grown so much.
Well done. That is,
I'm trying
that
to
is good
fast for. Because I'm afraid the you know, the service is going to get cut out. So yeah.
All right. So number nine, and again, 10 timeless keyword research tips is keyword difficulty. So keyword research, you want to research the relevance. The keyword phrase, excuse me, the key phrase needs to be at least tangentially related to what you do or offer, right? And you want to look at the volume of that. So these are two great things to look at, right? That's the relevance and the volume, but they are not complete until you balance those attributes with the with competition, specifically the other people already going after those words, right?
Chris,
so
do you see
he
my
gave
face?
The example.
I have huh? war paint on. Do you see my face?
Yeah, yeah, I know. I see that.
It's like I have war paint on.
It's almost like the commercials. I forget what. Oh, it's. I think it's for. Like Braveheart. AT&T high speed internet or something where yeah. where they're like, you know, sharing the Zoom meeting and it's all dysfunctional and whatever. There's a hair.
I think it looks hairy. Awesome actually. I got the sun. It's I think the sun hitting it in a certain way. But
so he gave some examples. I tweaked him a little bit. You might guess where of like Houston Digital Marketing. Some example he gave was like Houston Digital Agency is a little better. The volume is a tiny bit higher and not that competitive. Houston Web Design is somewhere in the middle. Volume looks good, but it's a little more difficult than the last one. So which one would you choose? Well, got to do more research first. Let's dive into the SERP analysis and see what websites are ranking. So then he pulls up that SERP analysis and looks at it and says the domain authority of the first three sites looks decent. But then the next few drop off. So while the average score might seem daunting initially, you still got a great shot at competing for this term. So this is about having a comprehensive, I think you should have called this, you know, have a comprehensive approach to your keyword research. Look at the data comprehensively. What is that volume? How relevant do you believe it is? And who is placing well for those particular phrases that you're considering?
Yeah, I mean, this could be certainly a whole podcast or a whole article on how to do the keyword research effectively. I think that that's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that. But essentially, like, look, you want to look at the bid auction, right? How many people are currently bidding on it? It's a pretty mature market. I'm not saying everybody that's in the bid auction knows what they're doing. Actually, I've found that a lot of people, you know, don't have the parameters set up. Absolutely correct. I would say that keyword difficulty score is somewhat misleading. So I agree with you. It's something to consider as a variable, but you want to look at how the other sites are doing, you know, maybe how many social shares those pages have, how many links those pages have, how strong those links are, what that keyword difficulty is, gives you an idea of how long it's going to take to rank for that keyword. Right. And so maybe out of the gate, you might want to not go for something that's a keyword difficulty of like 80 in the hard category. If there's options that you think would convert at like the 1 to 10 or 1 to 20, right? Like it's kind of like go after the low hanging fruit first.
Yep.
If it makes sense. And then a lot of times, if you do and you dig down and do the research well, you'll find those golden nuggets that nobody's bidding on. Right. And so that's why you shouldn't just use Google Keyword Planner. You should use something like Ahrefs to find that data to know what approach is best. Again, it goes back to your strategy. If you have the right strategy, you're going to win. Right. And it's not always keyword or like what you were saying, widget plus location. Like that's what everybody's going after. You might want to talk about something or specialize like inbound marketing or ESS60 in a different area, maybe a longer tail key phrase, you know, look at the roadmap of like what you're trying to do. A lot of times when we go after like a specific location, let's say Houston, like you were talking about, you might want to rank in the satellite areas or the sub area first, interlink those pages, point those up to the Houston page, kind of build some authority in some of these other areas. And then Google understands that those are all associated with each other. And then boom, you're really powerfully ranking for the Houston term. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of different ways to slice it. But again, one of the things I think is most important is keywords research and looking at it from a very strategic perspective of how you're going to tackle those keywords and which ones you're going to rank for first, what pages you want to rank, etc. So,
yep. The wrong strategy will get you exactly where it's going to take you. So make sure you don't have the wrong strategy. All right. Number 10, timeless keyword research tips. Competitive analysis. A little competitive analysis can illuminate some overlooked areas. Check out the link profile. This tells us where they're getting links from of a competitor, right? This tells us where they're getting links from so you can reverse engineer the same tactic. But it can give you other information too. And the example he used was Hard Rock Hotel, and they do a lot of ads for like Black Friday or Cyber Monday. So if you're another smaller hotel or hotel, you might want to consider running Black Friday, placing for Black Friday or placing for Cyber Monday. One of the things that's really good about this competitive research is using AWT. Right? Like, as we said at the beginning, learn what keywords your website ranks for and compare how you stack up against your competitors in the SERPs.
So this is like digital keeping up with the Joneses, basically.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. but yeah, I think that when you're building a backlink profile, you want to make your backlink profile look very similar to the people that are ranking in the positions you want to rank for. Right. And yep. So the best form of flattery is, I guess, imitation, right? And one of the strategies that we have when we're link building is, okay, our competitors have these high quality, high DA backlinks that are producing referral traffic. Referral traffic is something really good to look at of what type of people are being referred from what websites to maybe your website or a competitor website. That gives you a lot of idea to dig down in the keyword research more. But basically, you want to look like the people that rank where you want to be, right? And so if that's what you focus on, you're going to get similar results, hopefully, right? Now, it's always best to figure out what they're doing and then kind of like one-up them, right?
Yes.
Is certainly, I think, the approach that you want to take. But looking at a competitor's backlinks, you can see their strategies. You can say, oh, this guy, you know, like if we're talking about digital marketing, to go back to that, okay, they're commenting in the Moz forum, right? These guys are over here. These guys write for like us, like we write for Forbes, we write for Search Engine Journal and a few others. These guys are in the news a lot, or these guys focus with this charity, or, you know what I mean? Like you can see a footprint in the backlinks of what people are doing and how they're getting to where they get to. And a lot of times I've had a number of people come to me and go, I've spent $100,000 or whatever or more of digital marketing, and I look at their website and their on page is bad, their website's slow, so their technical's not there, they haven't done any content, okay, any content at all, they're using a bunch of stock photography, and then I look at their backlink profile and I don't really see anything. And I'm like, okay, I understand what you said you spent, but where did that money go? Do you have an understanding of that? Like
somebody's
most
pocket.
Of the time they don't. And that's why they were getting hosed. Like, and so that's what's really, really important to understand, you know, what you're getting, having that transparency, having those deliverables, having those, milestones that you're going after. That's why we run 3-month campaigns. That's why if you're a new client, it's got to be 6 months. The first 3 months are authority building, but we line out what you're going to get. We're fully transparent about what we do. But man, most of the time people come to us after they've been burned, right? And like if that money, that lost opportunity cost you were talking about, was spent in the right way the first time, how much further would you be along, right? And I just
maybe buying a new business, air conditioning business.
Well, I remember there was a cigar company out in Florida. I won't say which one, and I can't. Oh, I think I remember. But essentially, he has like 5 locations. He had spent a ton of money on his website, wasn't even done, right? Wasn't ranking, wasn't anything. I mean, he was deep in this. It was maybe a couple $100,000. And he comes back to us and he's like, all right, I got 8K left. Like, what can we do? And I was like, so, you know, you want to make sure your dry powder and your marketing budget goes to something that's going to produce a ROI that's proven. That was, I guess, man, I'm doing like self-promotion here. I apologize. But there's a great article that I wrote for Forbes for enterprise SEO of what to look for in an enterprise SEO agency. And if you're kind of in the market for that, I would really encourage you go read that article before you start pursuing and before you start spending a lot of money on something if you don't fully understand what you're going to get. That would be my biggest tip or biggest recommendation to somebody. So
makes a lot of sense. All right, let's wrap this up. Again, 10 timeless keyword research tips. This is from Brad Smith, CEO over at Wordable. Conclusion: keyword research isn't a box to tick off mindlessly before hitting publish. It's not even just a box that you tick off intelligently before you hit publish. Instead, it should be a more comprehensive, consistent activity that guides your next great marketing idea. Patif to you, Brad, because that's absolutely right. That's how it needs to be approached. Are you still there?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
I think that was a great conclusion, Chris.
And what we'll do is, because we didn't say at the beginning, hey, I know you didn't get a chance to search for reviews. If you're enjoying this podcast, if you're getting any value of out of the podcast, one, make sure you go check out Ahref, our sponsor. And then also make sure you leave us a review. You can do that at ewrdigital.com/review. Or you can go on Facebook and you can go search for Best SEO Podcast. You'll find us there and leave a review there too, please. And that's kind of it. Anything else?
No, I love it.
My name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now. Yeah.